I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, government projects injection of $20 billion into upstream sector of the petroleum industry in the next 5 years. International accounting and auditing firm offers to audit for free. Exhibit deposed by petitioners in election challenge before Supreme Court. Rector of Accra Polytechnic calls for cooperation to facilitate upgrading of polytechnics to universities. State of emergency declared in 3 northern states of Nigeria, and Syria denies allegation of using chemical weapons in civil war. But first, a summary with Jonathan Thompson.
$20 billion has been projected to be spent on the upstream sector of the petroleum industry in the next 5 years. This is to ensure that small and medium enterprises get a fair share of investment, which will in turn create more jobs among others. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Kofi Amabua, announced this in Takoradi at the inauguration of the Enterprise Development Center. KPMG, the international accounting and auditing firm tasked by the Supreme Court to audit the number of pink sheets submitted by the petitioners in the ongoing election petition hearing, has decided to do the counting free of charge. There were initial rumors that the firm would charge about $100,000 to undertake the job. The rector of the Accra Polytechnic, Dr. Sylvester Achiu, says polytechnics in the country need to be upgraded into universities. He explained that both universities and polytechnics must cooperate to make the move possible. And the Nigerian government has declared a state of emergency in 3 northern states. The president, Goodluck Jonathan, has deployed thousands of troops to the states of Yobe, Adamawa and Borno to contain a situation he described as getting out of hand. However, residents in the said areas say the situation has not yet reached crisis level.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Government has projected that in the next 5 years, about $20 billion will be spent on the upstream sector of petroleum activities. This is to ensure that Ghanaian small and medium enterprises get a fair share of this investment, which will translate into the transformation of Ghanaian businesses, job creation and overall expansion of the economy. This is the only way to make the oil and gas discoveries a blessing to all. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibua, made this known at the inauguration of the Enterprise Development Center in Takoradi in the Western Region. George Grant Youngson has the rest of the story.
The Enterprise Development Center is one of government's initiatives to provide support to Ghanaian small and medium enterprises so they can position themselves to take advantage of business opportunities in the oil and gas sector. This involves providing a range of services such as training, capacity building programs, advisory services, access to markets, and information. The center will act also as a focal point for coordination between small and medium enterprises and the oil and gas companies, their contractors and subcontractors. In his inaugural address, the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibua, said the Enterprise Development Center is part of the core components of the local content and local participation in petroleum activities policy of his ministry. The policy has been translated into regulations in a legislative instrument which is receiving executive and parliamentary approval. Mr. Marcus Ubua explains that the LI sets clear targets for achieving local participation in various services in the petroleum value chain, taking carefully into consideration the level of complexity of these services. He said, with the inauguration of the center, the very old mantra of Ghanaian SMEs not meeting international standards and the expectations of the oil and gas companies will be a thing of the past, as the training to be given them will enable them to meet stringent standards.
George Grant Youngson reporting.
The President, John Mahama, has nominated Alassana Mohamed Sorogodo as the District Chief Executive for Sangnarigu District Assembly in the Northern Region. This was contained in a release signed by the local government minister, Akwesi Oponfosu.
The Supreme Court will today hear an application for leave filed by the respondents to cross-examine some individuals in the ongoing presidential election petition. The application, which was first filed by the lawyers for the NDC, had to be postponed due to similar application by lawyers for the Electoral Commission and President Mahama. This application has been opposed by the petitioners. The three individuals the NDC is seeking to cross-examine are MPs for Brikum East, Chumni Ama and Tanoso North, Frida Prempeh, and the presiding officer from Savelugu. The court guideline for the hearing of the landmark election petition asked both the petitioners and respondents to file evidence through affidavits, but gave a window of opportunity to cross-examine witnesses due to compelling reasons. This is what the respondents are seeking to take advantage of.
The Supreme Court again, for the second time, adjourned proceedings prematurely to allow the petitioners challenging the 2012 presidential election results to prepare a list demanded by NDC counsel Chachu Chikata. Mr. Chikata wants the principal witness of the petitioners, Dr. Mahmudu Baumia, to indicate the counterparts of the polling stations they have alleged used duplicate serial numbers in the order he, Mr. Chikata, had prepared midway through his 10th day of cross-examination of Dr. Baumia. Mr. Chikata had indicated that he was unable to continue the cross-examination if the list was not ready. Meanwhile, lead counsel for the petitioner, Philip Addison, has disclosed that the list could only be ready this morning. The court therefore adjourned to today to allow the petitioners use the time to prepare the list. A report by Bubu Klinogo and George Asikri.
The petitioners have alleged, among other things, that during the 2012 presidential election, the Electoral Commission printed pink sheet with duplicate serial numbers, which were used in 6,823 polling stations. According to the petitioners, that was a major malpractice in that it was easy for the Electoral Commission to swap polling station pink sheet. Even though the Electoral Commission denied that it was a malpractice, the petitioners insisted and are praying the court to annul votes from those 6,823 polling stations. Meanwhile, lead counsel for the NDC, Chachu Chikata, during the course of his cross-examination said the petitioners failed to provide the counterparts of the polling stations which showed the same serial numbers as those listed by the petitioners. He therefore prepared a list for them to provide the counterparts in the order he had listed. Dr. Baumia told the court that work was progressing steadily on arranging the list.
We were also going to provide the additional information in respect of the other lot. Is that also available?
I think that is work that is ongoing. As I said to you, we've said that immediately they finish in a lot, they should bring it to court. I've just asked them to take their time to make sure the right things are done.
My lord, I'm sure we can be very brief when we get the remainder of the information. They have supplied some, and when we receive the rest, we will
deal with them.
No, we're not going to take them. We'll take them comprehensive.
My lord, we hope.
My lord, yes, I'm done for now. My lord, I did make reference to the fact that the count is also important in relation to concluding. I understood that the count.
It's on record.
Very well.
We are compelled to adjourn to tomorrow at this stage.
One of the spokespersons of the NDC legal team, Ibrahim Amalba, told journalists after the day's proceedings that the next person to be in the witness box after Mr. Chachu Chikata's cross-examination will depend on the petitioners.
What Chachu did was to test the veracity of the witness's claim, expose the inconsistencies in the witness's claim, and to also find out whether the witness can be credible. So you notice that most of the time, Chachu would repeat some questions. The reason being that the witness is very evasive, to be able to break down some of the evidence, and it is clear that they are not making any headway in this case.
Well, Mr. Abalba, as it stands, what is going to be the next line of action? Who is going to be the next on the witness box?
Chachu has indicated that tomorrow some list has been given to the petitioners. That is a list on same serial number. Now, if they are able to complete that list by matching the various same serial numbers, Chachu would complete the cross-examination tomorrow while awaiting the audit of the KPMG. So, whether they would continue to cross-examine or not would depend on the KPMG audit report.
So, will Mr. Chidunkete be on the witness box?
Yes. So, after that, procedurally, it would be left with the lawyers for the petitioners, if they so wish, to re-examine Bawunya. If that ends, then Asiru Nketia will take the witness box.
Madam Gloria Kufu of the MPP legal team said the technical team of the petitioners are working assiduously to get the list that Mr. Chikata is demanding to enable him to complete his cross-examination.
Mr. Chikata was examining the witness on a number of documents they had submitted to us that had been given to us to answer since the pairing of the duplicate serial number, that we were to find the counterparts in the other categories of infractions that we had raised, and it was taking time, so we were required to go and work on them. We have the database, but it is tedious, so we were able to bring them out in the, as they exist in our database. But when we brought it, Mr. Chikata insisted that he would want it formatted in the same way that they have submitted the document to us. So we've been working around the clock to satisfy that condition.
Meanwhile, the court will hear the motion filed by the NDC to cross-examine three persons whose affidavit were attached to the petitioners on Thursday, May 16.
That was a report by Bubu Klinoko and Georgia Sikri.
And now moving on, international accounting and auditing firm KPMG has offered to undertake the task of auditing the number of pink sheets submitted by the petitioners. The issue of the number of pink sheets provided by the petitioners has become one of the most contentious. While the petitioners insisted that 11,842 pink sheets were attached to their affidavit as exhibits, all the three respondents maintained that what they received was far less. To settle the matter once and for all, the court ordered a count of the pink sheets, and by consensus, all the parties settled on KPMG. Initially, there were rumors that the firm was going to charge about $100,000 for the task, but that has been settled now, with the firm voluntarily deciding to do the work free of charge, much to the admiration of Presiding Judge Justice William Atuguba.
And on issues happening outside the Supreme Court, the office of the spokesperson for the petitioners in the presidential election petition case, Gloria Ekufu, has been burgled. This is the second time in 5 months such an incident has occurred. The perpetrators of the alleged crime are yet not known, as the police are still investigating the case. In a reaction, Madam Gloria Ekufu says she has no idea of who or why her office is being targeted. She thinks it is not a mere coincidence.
Well, I myself haven't been offered. I was in a meeting and one of our members this morning when they reported, they observed that the place was a disorderly fashion. So after they had looked down, they noticed that computers, one from the front office and another one belonging to one of our lady lawyers. And also I was informed that our server had been tampered and that our driver had away. Matter has not been reported. The police have been to look around to assist the investigation.
But madam, this is the second time we are hearing of your office being invaded, or should I say burgled. Do you have any ideas why you should be the target of persistent raids?
Honestly, I am not conjecture. I have no idea who are behind it. I know what who are doing, and I cannot conjecture the mood for these raids.
Is there something special or suspicious you could be keeping that may have attracted some sort of tension?
Well, the first time they took away a computer and a pen drive. Once again, two computers and then part of the server have been fixed. So you can only conclude that they are looking for some information.
Gloria Ekufu.
Reacting to Ms. Ekufu's predicament, a member of the NDC legal team, Abraham Amaliba, who first expressed his sympathy to his colleague, disagreed with speculations that the incident is political. He said it is too early to read politics into such unfortunate incidents. He said it is vital to allow the police to do their work in ascertaining the actual reason for the theft.
I sympathize with him. I think that the police will do a good job by trying to unravel why they raided the office. If it is political, I'm sure it has not been authorized by an opponent. It may be a few miscreants.
Yeah.
Let's also not forget that it could also be purely criminal. And so let's not read too much politics into it. Let's allow the police to go into the matter, and then we can now begin to point accusing fingers.
A member of the NDC legal team, Abraham Amaliba.
And now moving away from that, the Divisional Union of GBC has pledged its unflinching commitment to the new Director General of the corporation, Major Albert Don Chebe. In a statement signed by the Divisional Chairman, Louis Dakong, the union congratulated Major Don Chebe on his appointment.
And the Executive Council of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana has congratulated Major Albert Don Chebe on his appointment as the Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. A statement issued by the Institute and signed by its Executive Secretary, Joseph Doty, the Council says it believes Major Don Chebe is capable and will deliver based on his strong strategic public relations expertise. The Council wishes him success as he embarks on this national assignment. The Director of Legon Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy, Professor Henrietta Mensah-Bonsu, is advocating mass public education to address the issue of violence or intemperate language which discredits Ghana's democracy and subvert the nation-building agenda. She said serial panelists and callers who raise tensions by their stringent partnership are a danger to democracy. The media must therefore check them through responsible gatekeeping. Mrs. Mensah-Bonsu was addressing editors in Accra last night as part of activities by the NCCE to celebrate 20 years of the Fourth Republic, which was on the topic, language that denigrates, language that threatens. We have in the studios here the director of radio of the GBC, Roland Afomoni, who was at the discussion. Welcome to our studios, Mr. Afomoni.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Now, what are some of the salient issues raised at the meeting?
First of all, let me state that those who listen to the lecture can describe it as a very rich intellectual meal. Indeed, her intellectual acumen was in full glow, but it wasn't all intellectualism. Intellectualism laced with wisdom, and he touched on happiness in this country, Supreme Court coverage, the media, the freedom they use, the excessive freedom they exercise, and the danger of this freedom. He made it clear that freedom is not an absolute value. Understand, freedom should have some caps when weighed against national interest, national security, public morality, and all that. But we tend to allow what he called serial panelists. I never knew this term until last night. Serial panelists, people who hop from one stage into another, peddling the same views and disseminating ideas, we tend to heighten tension. And he said both serial callers and serial panelists are a danger to democracy, so we need to watch them. And on the issue of live coverage of Supreme Court proceedings, he lashed at those who are against this live coverage. And he said he described them as forces who masquerade as Democrats. He's dangerous forces who masquerade as Democrats. To her, what is happening is it's a plus to our democracy. And it also depends transparency in court proceedings as part from demystifying the proceedings in court.
Okay, what prescriptions did she offer to all these?
She was of the strongest view that the public need to be tutored on what constitutes decent language in public discourse. Okay. Because to where the truth of a matter is not enough justification for airing it, because truth told with bad intentions can be as bad as lies.
Okay.
So we need to exercise our gatekeeping role, especially the media. It's not a question of just allowing anybody in the freedom of, in the spirit of freedom of expression, to disseminate views which will heighten tension, sometimes to the extent of high voltage tension. So we need to check, put on the caps, apply the, our gatekeeping cutlasses to cut off people who want to pollute the atmosphere. And he also made it, she also made it clear that our institutions are weak, but they are skittish. So we need to be careful in subjecting them to incessant pressure by some of the careless comments we allow on the airwaves and the media in general.
Now, some media folks out there would say that it is good to actually have both sides of a discussion, especially when it comes to politics. Okay, so it's like it's good to have both sides coming on board to create some kind of controversy that will stir up the minds of people. You, as the president of the GJA, what is your take on this troubling phenomenon of serial callers and panelists?
Indeed, we live in a society, in a pluralistic society, and backed by pluralistic media. So, peddling one-sided views is totally unacceptable in the dispensation. But we should be mindful and careful about who says what, and the effect. We should weigh the consequences of whatever is said on radio. We should look at, think through the implications of whatever is said, and then we as media person, professional journalists, should sift, you know, the dangerous element from the innocuous element.
Okay, so in your view, the media houses that are into these kind of practice, allowing serial callers to call in using temperate language and all that, what should be done to them?
We need to educate them, because acceptable ethical standards are not a product of a happenstance, but the dividend of dividend of quality investment in training and retraining. So we need to train them. At the same time, expose them to, need to allow, enable them to appreciate the enormousness of the job they do and the implications. Because look at elsewhere, the Randi's example always springs to mind. You know, it took a careless reporter on a careless station to plunge the whole nation into chaos. And the horrendous slaughter of as many as 800,000 people should serve as a lesson to all of us, because we can go that way if the media do not exercise responsibility in their way.
Okay, what's the penalty for those who've already engaged in such practice? Who are already doing that?
The
GJA should be able to punish them.
The media landscape is free. At the same time, it is littered with legal landmines. Mm. So if you fall on those landmines, the law must deal with you.
Mm.
Apart from, we are in the rule of law. The rule of law means that, you know, who finds himself on the wrong side of the law should be made to taste the biting edge of that law.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us in our studios. That was the director of radio of the GBC, Roland Afomoni, who is also the president of the Ghana Journalists Association.
Ghana has been ranked 15th out of 58 countries and earned the highest score in sub-Sahara Africa in reforms to improve competition and transparency in the mining sector. Speaking at the launch of the 2013 Resource Governance Index in Accra, the Deputy Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Yao Ifabefi, said for Ghana to be the top-scoring country in Africa in the index is a plus to the nation. He stressed on the need for Africa's natural resources not to be marred by conflicts, corruption and underdevelopment, but a relief to socio-economic challenges.
Traders at the Kathmandu market, whose stalls were ravaged by fire last week, have returned to the market despite city authorities' directive to relocate them at the Odona market. A visit to the place saw traders busily selling their wares. Speaking to Radio Ghana, some traders said that when they went to the Odona market, every shed they tried to occupy had already been assigned to persons. Some also who had the chance to sell complained of low patronage.
The rector of the Accra Polytechnic, Dr. Sylvester Achiu, has emphasized the need to upgrade polytechnics into universities.
He said upgrading will be possible if there is cooperation between polytechnics and universities. Dr. Achiu believes it is a dream that must become a reality.
Well, you see, the universities are supposed to come out with some discipline, which brings about some research results, and the polytechnics are supposed to utilize this information to come out or produce some things or issues that are relevant to the economy of Ghana. So, they only complement each other's work, but not trying to be competitive in terms of their...
If you have any advice to offer government on the issue, what will you tell them to facilitate the conversion process, and how soon would you like to see this?
I would like this to come on as early as possible, because if you look at the graduates, most of them would want to upgrade themselves. There are no degrees programs in their area of study. So what do? They divert their focus and go into the, let me say, traditional university programs, which means the mandate for which they have been paid for the education is not met as far as technical education is concerned. So there is the need for it to come on as early as possible. Now, there are some number of challenges. Some of these challenges which need to be addressed, that of equipment, that of space, and also getting the human resource capacity developed.
Dr. Sylvester Achiu is director of Accra Polytechnic.
Authorities of the University of Cape Coast say, in spite of the water crisis that has hit the metropolis, academic work will continue till the end of the semester. The estate officer of the university, Emmanuel Kofi Jimfi, who dropped the hint to Radio Ghana, said all the necessary interventions have been put in place to provide a conducive atmosphere for the lecturers and students to carry on with the academic programs. According to him, large water tankers are dispatched daily to draw water from the Ayinsudo hydrants for distribution to staff and students at their bungalows and halls. Besides that, Mr. Jinfi said the university has some underground water reservoirs which are used to serve the offices.
Zambia has applauded Ghana's efforts at migrating from analog to digital broadcasting. The Deputy Minister of Information and Broadcasting Services of Zambia, Mwamsa Kapela, was full of praise for the country's work when he visited GBC to see at first hand how GBC has handled the migration. He said Zambia is also on course in meeting the deadline, but is hoping to learn from leaders like Ghana to fasten their migration process.
The Financial Division of the Fast Track High Court in Accra has refused a move by the state and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to join the National Labour Commission suit against the Ghana Medical Association. The court noted that the Attorney General cannot be heard as an interested party, as its observer status was not defined by any filed process.
Presiding Judge Justice John Ajetunasan said there is the need for the Attorney General to join the case because the Labour Commission is prosecuting its case and does not even need their permission to do so. He emphasized that even though the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission is not a party to the suit, the Commission is an essential element in resolving the matters. He has therefore ordered that the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission be involved in the resolution process. Failure to comply with the directive will attract consequential orders from the court. This ruling was as a result of concerns raised by the president of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Kwabena Pokuduse. Dr. Pokuduse told the court that the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission is refusing to comply with the Labour Commission's directive regarding the payment schedule. Mr. Justice Ajetunasan tasked the Labour Commission, the Ghana Medical Association, and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to reconsider their entrenched positions for concrete resolution. Counsel for the Labour Commission, Afiba Amiye, said the parties are still at the negotiating table and will need some time to arrive at a decision to present their agreement to the court. She noted that both the Ghana Medical Association and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission hold divergent views to the matter. For his part, lawyer for the doctors, Dominic Brenya Autry, in response to the doctor's letter, intimated that orders emanating from the court are not binding on them because they are not a party to the case. He said the issue at hand is between the Salaries Commission and his clients, noting that Labour Commission is only an arbiter.
That call story was filed by Amasewa Bidiako.
And in foreign news, a state of emergency has been declared in three northern states in Nigeria. Thousands of soldiers backed by heavy weapons have been deployed to the states of Yobe, Adamawa and Borno to contain the situation. President Goodluck Jonathan describes as getting out of hand, but residents of these states have been skeptical about the emergency because they claim the situation has not reached crisis level.
And the BBC has said it has evidence claiming to corroborate reports of the use of chemical weapons in Syria last month. A correspondent who visited the northern town of Saraqis was told by eyewitnesses that government helicopters had dropped at least two devices containing poisonous gas. The government has vehemently denied claims it has used chemical agents. The U.S. has warned that such a development would be a red line for possible intervention. However, President Barack Obama said the current intelligence on possible chemical weapon usage did not constitute sufficient proof for any action.
To end the news, look at some of the stories that made the headlines. $20 billion has been projected to be spent on the upstream sector of the petroleum industry in the next 5 years. This is to ensure that small and medium enterprises get a fair share of investment, which will in turn create more jobs, among others. KPMG, the international accounting and auditing firm tasked by the Supreme Court to audit the number of pink sheets submitted by the petitioners in the ongoing election petition hearing, has decided to do the counting free of charge. Director of the Accra Polytechnic, Dr. Sylvester Achio, says polytechnics in the country need to be upgraded into universities, and the Nigerian government has declared a state of emergency in three northern states. President Goodluck Jonathan has deployed thousands of troops to the states of Yobe, Adamawa and Borno to contain a situation he has described as getting out of hand. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwate
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.